Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford. Are you?
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we're back for another bonus episode, another current TV catch-up. Brandi, how's it? We've been off for a while. How you been?
I have been pretty good. Watching more TV now, which is nice. I feel like I was in a little bit of a slump and not watching a lot of stuff, but like Now we're back, we're here, we're not overwhelmed. Just kidding. Always overwhelmed by the amount of amazing television that is out there. Like, what am I going to watch today? I have 2.5 hours.
Exactly. Always overwhelmed, always watching TV, but that's exactly the reason why we're here. There's so much. If you're a loyal listener, you know that we generally don't talk a ton about current new stuff unless it makes their way into someone's criteria, their BFF criteria, best, favorite, and forever shows. But today we are going to talk about some current stuff because, as Brandi, like you said, there's been so freaking much. So we're recording this like second week in April. So we're kind of doing like a winter spring catch up. So everything from the turn of the new year, everything from, you know, January 1, 2022 up until now. And there's been a lot. I mean, so as you know, I love a list. So I'm looking at my list now, and I've watched since the first of the year, just about between like 20 and 25 shows, some binged, some weekly. It's been a lot.
I'm not there.
You always say that, but I feel like you're always closer than you think.
I feel like maybe like 10 to 12 shows, but like full shows. Like if you talk about like 1 to 2 episodes of something, yeah, then maybe we can bump it up.
Sure.
But like full shows, I feel like maybe 10.
Well, that's kind of your thing though. You like to sample. You like to do the 2-episode kind of appetizer.
Love a sample. Love a sample, love an appetizer. If you want me for the main event, you better make my appetizer banging.
Yeah, you got to prove it. You got to prove your worth. I will say also too, so I did make last season, I made several TV watching promises, and I will let you know as they are delivered upon. The first one, the biggest one, is that I also spent a ton of time over the holidays and early parts of 2022, finally watching and catching up with The Sopranos. So that took a lot of time out of my TV watching schedule. We're not going to talk about that today because that's not quite a recent show. It's recent to me, but not in the grand scheme of TV. But stay tuned. I think we're going to do, Brandi and I, we were just talking about this before we hit record. We're going to do a little bonus experiment and use Sopranos as kind of our guinea pig. So stay tuned. We're going to have something fun and new and interesting coming up.
And in case anyone's wondering, I did not watch Sopranos and I am not planning on it, but Dan's doing the Lord's work. I'm glad you watched through. I have nothing against The Sopranos.
Nothing against it. And
nothing against it.
Brandi, you've had some recent experience with mob and mafia stories. So there'll be a lot to discuss from both of our perspectives. Yeah,
there will be.
But okay, let me run down this list of things that I've watched that didn't make my list, aren't even in the almost conversation, but I've been watching. This Is Us season 6. I know you're watching that, Brandi. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, it's turning.
it's freaking turning. Cheer season 2 came back. Didn't love it. Season 1 was way better. Search Party, wild ride. Absolutely bonkers. If you like absurdist humor, check it out. Didn't quite make the cut. Let's see here. The Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus. I'm watching Survivor this year, which is newish for me. I haven't watched it in like over a decade, something like that.
Wow.
It's changed. There's so much shit going on in that show now. It's almost too much. Sometimes I'm like, too many twists, too many turns, too many idols, too many rules, too many things, but it's fun. Ozark season 4, part 1. Excellent, excellent. Definitely an almost show for me, but gonna have to wait and see how it all turns out before I can give it its proper. We really haven't talked about Ozark much on this show. Once it finishes.
No, I really don't know too much about it. I know that it's been recommended. I was thinking about it just because like I like stuff that I can watch with Moses, and that feels like that could be in that realm.
It could. Mo would like it. Has Mo watched any of it?
No, he hasn't watched it.
Ooh, that's a good, put it on your co-viewing list.
Okay.
We'll see how it ends, but it's got criteria potential depending on how it lands the plane. And then there's only two more shows I want to mention here, both of which I know you've checked out at least a little bit of. The first one's Euphoria.
Yes.
what a complicated conversation has been swirling around Euphoria the first part of this year. What are your thoughts on Euphoria, Brian? Did you watch any of it?
So Euphoria, I watched the in the first season, I think I watched the second episode, maybe. Okay. I don't really remember what happened in it. But in this most previous season, the newest season, I happen to have tuned in on both of the most intense episodes of the season. So I saw the episode where I clocked into the episode as Rue was running for her drug addict life.
Sure. Episode 5. Yeah. probably the high watermark of the season.
Yeah, like it was, I was like, this is so intense. This is one of the most intense things I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I tuned in and it happened to be the season finale.
Wait, hold on. Wait. You watched the season finale?
Yeah.
Without context other than?
With no context at all. There's a play going on. Apparently, because I missed the penultimate episode, I did not see the beginning of the play.
Missed the first half of that play. Yeah. Crucial context. Yeah.
So I basically just saw like a lot of fighting.
Wow.
And I don't have anything against Euphoria. I feel like I didn't start watching it because sometimes, and I'm just going to be completely honestly candid here, I don't love watching shows with a bunch of young people in it because it makes me miss my youth. And it's like, I don't want to watch young. I don't want to watch you being in high school. And then, but then after I watched some of it, I was like, oh God, this isn't a high school I ever want to be at.
I was just going to say, you wouldn't miss that specific Euphoria high school experience. Like,
but also like now, like as a mom, I'm terrified that this is what this is my life in 2032. Yeah, but you've actually been watching it. You know the show. So like make the case for the show for me.
I don't know if I have much of a case to make. I didn't make my cut. I enjoyed it more for the conversation around it, right? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't watch season one as was happening. And I only caught up like with a couple episodes left in season two. So I got to be part of the conversation at the very end. And that was really fun. Like I would have put it maybe in a favor just because of the experience of being around it. And like, actively watching the fans turn against the show in real time.
Oh, okay.
Right. Coming out of season one, people loved it. It was like a mood. It was a moment. And then it comes back. It has these two special episodes over COVID, both which were very, very well done and highly praised. And then it comes back and you can just kind of see like, you can kind of see the seams. You can kind of see the cracks starting to widen out. You could see like, oh, this is clearly one person, Sam Levinson's vision. But like, it's just Sam in the writing room. And you could really start to tell, like, where are all the women and the queer people and like all of these people that he's telling stories about, where are they in the writer's room? Right. So like, you know, you saw like a lot of backstage behind the scenes reporting of like chaotic sets and no shot lists. And I mean, it looks gorgeous. It looks stunning and it sounds really great. And like, I'm going to keep watching is like, because I think it's now just part of the zeitgeist. It has more viewers than any HBO show in recent memory by like a lot. Like it's not going anywhere. Interesting watch. Interesting watch. Brandy, what about you? What are some shows that you've been watching? Didn't make your BFF here, but we're kind of in the mix.
Yeah. So Atlanta is back. I think it might even be four episodes in now. I've only watched the first two that they both dropped at the same time. I mean, it's a mood. Atlanta is a mood. And I knew not to trust Atlanta after the Teddy Perkins episode. I knew that I could never quite, cause they had the Teddy Perkins episode. And then they had the episode where, Paperboy was lost in the woods.
Yeah.
Those kind of came on the heels of each other. And I was like, God damn it. Why is this show so scary?
And then the season starts with three slaps and you're like, God damn it.
And then, And so when the season started, I was like, wait, we're not even getting Donald Glover in this. Wait, what? And then like, when they took that chicken out, I was just like, okay, what are we in for here? but also like that second episode, there was just like, Atlanta is amazing for the moments that it has. Like it just has these moments that are like, oh my God, what am I watching right now? You know, I think back to the Teddy Perkins episode when he was eating the ostrich egg.
Yep.
And I don't want to give anything away from this the season that's airing right now, because I feel like the part that I'm thinking about like was a really intense part of that episode of the second episode.
Yeah.
Like, and it just came at you and didn't stop. Like it went for the full, like, I don't know what that was. It was the longest 10 seconds of my life.
I mean, you're right. Like the way you describe it, like it's a show full of moments is very well said. I think that, because you're right. Like I remember moments, scenes, interactions back and forth. And the rest of the episodes, I think there's like four, maybe five out right now, I want to say, at the time of this recording. Again, we're like second week in April. And there's the one that just aired last week is another one without the main core four, but an incredibly good, interesting, provoking episode, especially for, I mean, speaking for myself, hopefully for a lot of the white viewers of Atlanta. Like, I really hope it resonates with a lot of like the white folks who watch the show. It's called The Big Payback. And it's basically kind of like a reparations storyline that is just like, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really well done. So I'm down with whatever they're doing. I also, it's interesting that like they filmed like seasons 3 and 4 kind of back to back and are now like producing them all back to back. So like, we're going to get of a lot. We've been without it for so long. We almost kind of forgot what it was like to have it. And then since it's been gone, so many other shows have kind of stepped up to reach the bar that Atlanta has laid out. Like, you know, you mentioned Dave and, you know, a lot of other shows that, you know, Reservation Dogs and, you know, Insecure, like a lot of these other shows now have kind of raised their game. So now it's like, oh, we're used to this level of storytelling.
Like elevated storytelling.
So now it's like, oh, shoot.
Because even like kind of saying that, like, it's a lot of moments, I feel like that shouldn't minimize it at all. Like, because these moments are like really intense and amazingly crafted. And like, you can just, I feel like what I love about Atlanta is that you can see how much care went into every single piece of it.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like I'm seeing an artistic vision like come to life.
I absolutely agree. And I also really do like the fact that Donald Glover, in some recent statement, he's like, yeah, the way I see it, it's us and the Sopranos and then everybody else. And I'm like, all right, let's see how it all shakes out. Cause now I can be in that conversation. I've seen the Sopranos.
Yeah. And then another thing that I've been watching that I've just been really enjoying and like keeping up in a way that like, I watch this show every season, but I don't necessarily like keep up with it every season. I kind of have a bunch of episodes and I watch through them all, but this season I'm like basically current, and that is Top Chef Houston.
Yeah.
Like Top Chef's a great show. It's always really fun to watch, but like for some reason, like the season's really, I'm like on board. Like I've got favorites. I'm like excited about stuff. Like, I can't believe that one of the guys that like keeps winning everything can't smell or taste because he still has like side effects from COVID, and he keeps winning and making like really making stuff that like has very strong flavor profiles that like you need to have a little taste just to make sure.
Yeah. I'm also watching Top Chef. I mean, it's a criteria show for me still. This season though, candidly, I'm not okay. This is tricky. It's a really, really well done season. There have been some episodes that have been like super, super standouts, like the doppelganger episode with holy shit,
Viola Dufresne.
So fucking good. The problem is that I once again entered into a Top Chef fantasy league and unfortunately drafted terribly. It's a league of seven people. I had the seventh pick. I was on the turn. I got stuck with a couple that I wasn't super thrilled about. One is now left the competition. The other one is just kind of meh, kind of middling through. He's not going to make it very far. So
look, she might last chance kitchen.
Nah, she's gone. She's out. But that said, now that I can kind of move, I know I'm not winning the fantasy, so I can kind of put that behind me and properly enjoy the season. But Top Chef, still bringing it after all these
years. Yeah, still bringing it. I like them being in Houston. I feel like I'm actually noticing them just really expanding kind of what the chefs are able to do. I love that they had the Asian night market episode. I can't believe they haven't done that before. That's a great challenge. And it's also like hard because it's so many different kinds of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really impressive.
All right. Let's get to the credit. There's a couple other shows that I could mention. Like, I mean, at the end of the year episode, which is the last time y'all heard from us, I sung the praises of Station 11 and put it on my criteria, but BFFs of the year, even though I hadn't seen the entirety of the show. I can tell you, it absolutely delivered. It still deserves that spot. I went back and rewatched it after it aired. Love, love, love that show. And although it's not making this conversation because it's, you know, we've kind of moved past that moment, although some of the episodes did air in 2022, So it would be eligible, but it's mm-hmm. it's not. I've spent enough time singing its praises, so we can leave some space for some other things. But Brandon, I think you were talking before. There's a show that similarly kind of aired late last year, early mm-hmm. this year, that is in the conversation. Should we get to the BFFs and kind of unveil your first pick here?
Let's do it. So my first best of 2022, as Dan said, I think only the last three episodes aired in 2022, but like I also didn't start watching it until 2022. Yeah. So that's why I also feel that it's like a 2022 show for yeah. me.
We'll allow it for all these reasons. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that is Yellow Jackets.
Yes. Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, so Yellow Jackets was like the buzz
nice.
Of like the holiday season last year, because I think it premiered like end of like right after Thanksgiving or something. It's on Showtime, and it is about a high school soccer girls high school varsity soccer team on their way to national championships. Their plane crashes, and the survivors of the crash spend 19 months in the wilderness. The show takes place both in 1996 when the crash happens and present day. So like all of the women are now like in their early 40s. We don't know. We know some people who survived. We don't know all the people that survived. And basically the episodes go back and forth between what's going on in 1996 and what's going on now. You find out in the very first episode that these bitches have gone tribal and they are eating one of their own.
Yeah.
So just know that going into it, you find it out very soon. So very it's soon. Not a spoiler.
There are some cannibalistic tendencies in this show. That's exactly yeah. correct. But very smartly, you don't really know who is eating people, right? Like, mm-hmm. so they do a really great job of being like, hey, some of these people are eating people, but you don't know who is who because they have like mm-hmm. masks and like hoods and stuff. You see one character kind of get revealed, but it's quickly made plain that she is, the most out there, the most probably mm-hmm. imbalanced of all the young women who get stranded. But other than that, you really don't know like who is really involved. And also too, you don't know how far they've been in the woods before this happened. So there's a lot of, it's mm-hmm. very much a mystery box show. Kind of has some Lost vibes, really strong nostalgia because of the flashbacks of the 90s, which is really, really mm-hmm. fun. And just some great, great actresses really, like both the young versions and the adult versions are just like incredible.
What I love about it is that it puts me in the mind of one of my favorite movies, Now and Then, in which it was about a group of girlfriends and you meet them in like the 70s, like late 60s, early 70s. And then you meet them as adults. And as kids, there is Thora Birch, Gabby Hoffman, and I forget the other two girls, but as adults, it's Demi Moore, Rosie O'Donnell, Christina Ricci is one of the younger girls too. That's really why it puts me in the mind of it, because Christina Ricci. So in Yellow Jackets, Christina Ricci plays the adult version of somebody. And I will go ahead and just let everyone know that Moses, my husband, and I are thinking about dressing up as Misty and Coach for Halloween.
You should.
So you once you watch, just know that like that's probably happening.
Yeah.
I went into Yellow Jackets not really knowing what it was about. It is a little scary. So like, if you don't like scary stuff, you might not like it, because like, I don't think it builds itself as being like horror, but like, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. Like, there's some weird shit. Like there's some
weird shit goes down. There's a lot of, it's pretty violent, but I don't know. I love it. I didn't know that I needed a show where we were seeing teens in the 90s, but guess what? I did.
I don't think any of us did, but like collectively we were like, yeah, this fucks, this rocks.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
And just to shout out a couple, Christina Ricci mentioned is in it. Juliette Lewis is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Tawny Cypress plays another one of the main adults, who also has a teenage version played by Jasmine Savoy Brown, who's incredible, is in a bunch of stuff. And then Melanie Lynskey.
Ugh.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of people have probably checked out the show already, but maybe what you haven't done is seen Melanie Lynskey, accept an award in her natural New Zealand accent. And it's just incredibly charming. And it also just goes to show, like, I've only ever seen her play in Americans in like American shows. And man, does she do incredible accent work, because that is not how she sounds, friends. It's not how she sounds.
You gotta watch. She is in this movie. I'm going to get it wrong. It's Heavenly Creatures or Beautiful Creatures? Heavenly Creatures. It's with her and Kate Winslet. She does have the accent in that. And Heavenly Creatures should also make us all think, be very suspicious of her in Yellow Jackets, because like she does not play somebody good in Heavenly Creatures. She is very sneaky and creepy, and like it's all about like girls and revenge, and it's a great movie. But yeah, no, Yellow Jackets was really, it was like, it's just really enjoyable. Like it's got a great soundtrack.
Oh my God,
it's
incredible.
Really, like it's wonderfully shot. You like, they do a great job of like kind of showing that like we contain multitudes.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of think that like this one girl, like you can't make any assumptions because they always come back to say that that's not true. But yeah. Yeah, Yellow Jackets is my first best show.
Well chosen. Well chosen. Mm-hmm. My first best show, we're going to fast forward and get a little bit more current. This is one of the current slate of like founder / fraud stories, right? So there's been a bunch of them, some that I have watched, some that I haven't. Like We Crashed, didn't check it out. Sorry, I just don't have the time for it.
Me neither.
What was the one? Inventing Anna. Watched one episode when I was upstate at my mom's. Couldn't get into it. Not for me. Super Pumped, the one on Showtime about Uber.
On Uber.
Watched the whole thing. Ended up enjoying it. The main character, Travis Kalanick, is such a fucking piece of shit that you hate that by the end, once things start coming around on him, like it's entertaining to watch. Plus, Coach Taylor's in it. I don't watch anything he's in. But not the best. The best one of all of these, and it is on my criteria, is The Dropout on Hulu about Elizabeth Holmes, played by Amanda Seyfried. Hope I'm saying that right. I'm not sure anyone knows how to pronounce her last name.
I have no idea how to say it.
Mm-hmm. She plays Elizabeth Holmes. Naveen Andrews plays Sonny Balwani, kind of her partner in Eventual Crime. You also know him as Sayid from Lost. But it's a stacked cast. Like Michaela Watkins is there for a while. William H. Macy's there. Like an incredible cast. Really interesting story. I hadn't seen any of the documentaries. I didn't listen to the podcast. So like I didn't have a ton of like knowledge of where the story was going. I mean, I obviously knew that it didn't work out for her. It doesn't work out for any of these people, but I didn't really know how. So I love that. And it was just compared to all of them, and even just standing alone, just a really well-made limited series. The performances, like Amanda Seyfried as Elizabeth Holmes, just give her the nominations now. She's going to be in the conversation. I think she did an excellent job, especially and particularly like the very last moments of the series. She does something just so incredible from an acting perspective. I'm like, yo, that was so good. What a, like a kind of like a cherry on top of this incredible performance. So, but also just like the structure of it. It didn't just feel like what a lot of people call it, like these Wikipedia shows where you can just kind of like, here's what happened next. And then here's what happened next. And then here's what happened next. Like it was really well done, really well structured and paced. Overall, just really, really loved it. So it's in my best. Brandy, what about, have you watched any of these shows?
I mean, so I have a lot of institutional knowledge of Elizabeth Holmes because I did read the book. I listened to the podcast, and it's actually funny that I haven't started watching The Dropout yet. I am planning on watching it, not just one episode. I'm planning on watching the whole thing.
Well, you probably know too much. There's not really a lot of urgency to get there because you kind of know.
I know exactly. Like, because I know. Yeah. But I do. I am interested in seeing how she gets the voice. Because that was, I'm very confused about that.
Here at Theranos, we are developing new technology.
Here at Theranos, we are developing new technology. New technology.
This is an inspiring step forward.
Forward. Forward, forward. This is an inspiring step forward.
The whole story of Elizabeth Holmes is fascinating to me. I just, as a Black woman in America, it's infuriating because it's like, damn. So if you're a blonde white bitch, you just go in and folks just give you money?
Over and over and over and over again.
Over and over again. It's just like, oh, I've got a really great idea. Like, so this is what it is. And just so you know, like I come from money already. So I'm good for it. Mr. Person who used to be a Secretary of State.
Like, yeah, right. George Shultz. You know what's wild, though, is two people who develop television shows for a living. And there was something a little bit, not refreshing, but just like a little bit of like, ooh, that would be because like basically what she did was she pitched a concept. Someone bought it. Someone greenlit the concept, but then she never delivered the show and just kept re-showing the sizzle over and over and over and over again and passing it off as the show and got away with it for like a decade. Can you imagine? Right? Like to sell something and then never actually have to fucking make the thing and get paid billions of dollars for it. Like
just the fact that like nobody called, like even if people were like, oh, like, I mean, I feel like I maybe want my money back. Like this isn't feeling great. They're like, and then she's completely rude to them and they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's how it is. She's 23 years old and I'm a grown ass man, but no, it's insane. But I'm glad that it's good because it is like a really insane story and like would be, it's the kind of thing that I want to see that brought to life. Cause like, I just can't, it just blows my mind that it was that it could happen.
Yeah, it truly was insane. And the repercussions are still like, you know, she's still like a woman in the world who is not currently in jail. Like,
no, just having a baby and thinking that that's going to make sure that she won't go to jail because she has a baby now. And it's like
going to Burning Man, you know, just doing weird shit.
You know, and then like getting like marrying like a rich ass guy. It's just like the rich stay rich. Like how are the rest of us normal Joes supposed to get ahead?
I know. I know.
But anyway, my next best show is about a much better woman.
Okay.
And it is called Better Things.
Ooh.
And it is with Pamela Adlon. Like this is like, talk about like an auteur's like vision, like how we were talking about with Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That is what Better Things is. And like, just you see Pamela Adlon in every single piece of this. Mm-hmm. So it is a show, it's in its last season now. It's on FX. And it's about Pamela Adlon plays like a fictionalized version of herself as a single mom working actress with three daughters.
Okay.
And a mom who like lives next door and is like a little daffy, kind of like comic relief, but also like who's getting old. And like in this season, she's really having to grapple with like, my mother is aging and like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when the show started out, her girls were like, the littlest one was like super cute, like probably like third grader, right?
Okay.
And then so it's Duke is the littlest one, Frankie is the middle one, so I think she was like in middle school, and then Max is the oldest one. I think she was like a freshman in high school.
Okay.
So now fast forward to this, we're five seasons in. Max has gone to college, but she went to New York, didn't work out. She came back, she's back in California. Oh, they live in LA.
Okay.
Frankie came out last season as like non-binary and it's just, they're still figuring themselves out.
Right.
And then Duke is now like an eighth grader and she is grappling with the fact that she's not the cute little kid anymore. She's like growing into a woman and like, she's actually kind of depressed and like, that's what's going on with her.
Yeah.
And then you've got Pamela Adlon at the top, you know, just trying to hold everything together. But like, I just love this family so much. So her name, she played her character name is Sam Fox. And like last season, I was really mad at all the girls. Cause I was like, why are you guys treating your mom like this? Like, she is so good to you. And like, you're so fucking rude. And like, this is what happens. Honest candor here. I was like, white folks be letting their kids do whatever. Oh my God. Like you couldn't, I can't, just try saying something like that to my mom. Are you kidding? Like Sam is just like, well, whatever. It's like, bitch, you can't let them talk to you like that. But anyway, this season they've really course corrected, but not course corrected in a way that they were like, oh, people were really mad about that last season, but course corrected in a way that like life happens. And like, you're a piece of shit as a teenager. And then you kind of start to realize, oh wait, my mom is awesome. And like, I can't believe she did all this for me.
Yeah. And also a human being, you know, right?
Yeah. You start to like not be like so selfish and actually learn empathy.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just, this show is like a warm hug.
Listen, baby, your future is yours. You can be anything you want. You know those people that you see every day that look like they have their shit together and they made all the right choices, and how impossible it seems just to get to that place? Well, look. Look at you. You look like one of those people. And all they did was put on the clothes. And honey, you can be anything you want to be. Seriously, but also, if you just get a job and get by, you're still gonna love your life. Because life is good, even at its worst.
You came here just to say that to me?
Why? Was it shitty? I thought it was gonna be good. It wasn't shitty. You liked it. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Now, it's in its last season.
It's in its last season.
Did it finish yet? Have you seen the series finale yet, or is it still airing?
No,
as we
it's still, yeah. As we record, it's still airing. I think that maybe there's only a couple episodes left. I feel like it's usually pretty short seasons.
Okay.
So I think it's maybe at most it's 10 episodes. I feel like it's 8.
Oh boy. Okay. So yeah. You're in the end. Now, do you have any doubt that she'll land the plane, that it's gonna go out, you know, the way it should?
Oh, I have no doubt, because the nature of the show is that it'll be the last episode, but like their lives are continuing on.
Oh,
do you know
like
what
that.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's not going to be the kind of thing where it's like, oh, well, Max is getting married. Frank is having a baby. Duke's graduating 8th grade. You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. just whatever the show is not very plot driven.
Oh, okay, cool.
This season, more so than other ones, has been a little bit more plotty, mm-hmm. like with like this thing having this thing. But like, it's definitely not a typical half hour show structure in which there's like an A story, a B story, and a C story. Like, it's, you know, like an episode started last week with Sam driving in her car. She sees like some shit going down on the sidewalk. Like, this guy like stole something from some lady, and she like went and she was like hitting him, and like Sam's just driving by. We never see anything about that again. Like, that was just something that happened to her in the morning.
Right.
You know okay. what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's really great. It's like, it's great writing, great acting. Like, they really feel like a family. Like, I love the house. Like, it's giving me major, like, Nancy Meyers house vibes, except ooh. more lived in. Like, okay. Nancy Meyers' house, it's like, oh my God, this should be in like a magazine of where I want to be living.
Right.
Sam's house is like a Nancy Meyers house that now people live in.
That's awesome.
So like, there's like weird art on the wall. There's just shit everywhere. Like, I love her kitchen. They have these really great sequences where she's like cooking. Like, she was making a margarita last episode, and I was just like, give me some of that. But yeah, so Better Things, it's great. It's just really, really well done. It's the best. It's the best of what I'm watching right now.
I have a follow-up question for you. Longtime listeners will know, and if you're new to the podcast, welcome. But one of the rules of creating these BFF criteria is that you can't double up a genre in any category. Mm-hmm. So if you pick a drama in your best, your other pick needs to be a comedy or unscripted. Now, question, you got Yellow Jackets, mm-hmm. clear drama. Is better? Are you categorizing Better Things as a comedy?
I think Better Things is categorized as a comedy.
Okay.
And it is funny. Like, it's not, it's much more, it's not like laugh track funny, but like, it's a humorous yeah. show.
I mean, it feels very much like, you know, that kind of like FX Showtime type mm-hmm. half hours where it's like, it's a comedy that gets dramatic, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's not a comedy like Curb.
Right.
But it definitely is like, you laugh and you cry.
All right. Here's a question. Cause we talked about the show once already. Is it funnier than Atlanta? Are there more laughs?
There's more laughs in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's never, and I have to remind myself that I don't need to be worried. Like, for instance, there was an episode last season where they were at the, they went to whatever, what's the baseball stadium in LA?
Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. They went there for a game, and they couldn't find the car afterwards. And I was like, oh my God, are they going to get mugged? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it's like, that's not what this show is.
That's not the show. Not the show yeah. you're watching. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Love that pick. So in your best, you have Yellow Jackets and Better Things.
Mm-hmm.
Strong. Really strong. God, I really need to watch Better Things. That has been too high on my to watch list for too long.
But you know what's great about it though, is that like, there's no rush. Like it's such an evergreen type show that like literally whenever you want to pop in.
Yeah.
And then you can pop out. Like, you're not going to feel the need to like, I've got to get to the next episode and binge this.
I kind of feel that way about another one of your all-time faves on your, did it make your criteria? Was it Almost Show? I can't remember. Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this for a while. And every time you bring it up, I'm like, oh, I need to catch up. I'm finally catching up and I'm in the final season. Thing is though, I don't want it to end. So I watched like literally one a week because I don't want it to end.
That's what happened. That's what happened to me. I didn't watch the finale for so long. Yeah. I was just like, but then it's done.
Yeah. Then it's over and they're all gone. Well, speaking of a great cast and another comedy, my second best show is Abbott Elementary on ABC. You may have heard about it if you're a TV fan. A lot of folks are talking about it. It's kind of taken this TV season by storm. One, because it's fucking hilarious, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Two, because it's kind of proving that all things are cyclical. We thought that we were all done with network comedies done in a mockumentary type fashion. Turns out we're not, because this is a network sitcom done in a mockumentary type fashion, and it is so good. It's created by Quinta Brunson, who we know on this podcast is a big part of Black Betty Sketch Show for a while. She created it, she stars in it, she like it, it is her show, and it's about a group of elementary school teachers in Philly, in like a public school in Philadelphia. And it's just, I mean, it's hard to talk about a comedy without saying it's really funny. It's just, it's super funny, but
it's really funny.
What's great about it is it reminds me of Ted Lasso in that it arrived fully formed. You didn't need 3, 4, 5 episodes to get into it, to learn the characters, to figure out the dynamic like you do with most comedies. And we've mentioned that often. It just dropped and you're in the world and you get it. And you're on board instantly. The cast is basically all unknowns. If you don't recognize Quinta from other stuff, everyone else I didn't really recognize, but I've been introduced to now, Janelle James, who plays the principal, Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh out loud almost every line she has. Holy shit. Absolutely bringing it.
Hey, yo. What it do, baby boobs? What y'all think about this little film crew I brought in here?
Distracting, makes our jobs harder.
But exciting, we about to be on TV.
Because they are covering underfunded, poorly managed public schools in America.
No press is bad press, Barb. Look at Mel Gibson, still thriving. Daddy's home too, hilarious.
Ava's our principal. She has a unique take on her job.
She's bad at her job. What's unique is that she's bad at her job.
Really strong show. It's a great one to binge. If you want to save it up, you can watch it all on Hulu. It rocks. It rocks. Are you watching Abbott?
It was on. So this was actually on my almost list because I've only seen one episode. But as you said, it drops fully formed and I'm in. I'm totally in. And I think it's great. I want to watch more. I just haven't watched it yet. But it's one of those things that like I know it's going to be there. I love a half hour show. And I'm really looking forward to having these to watch still.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also too, like, if you wanted to have it on, like with your kids around, you could, you know what I mean? Like it's got like, you know, kind of like that school environment that, you know, they could might be able to get down to, but like, also you're just like, it's because also too, you don't really need to, I mean, you should watch it. You should sit down and watch it, but it's one of those shows where like the sense of place, like, you know, they're in a school, you can kind of like listen to it and still really enjoy it if you absolutely had to. It's basically what I'm saying is it's good in any form. It's a great show. I hope they make it for another, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons because it could go on forever. It's great. All right. So that's our best category. Brandy, what's your first favorite show?
My first favorite show. It's funny that I said that I put Abbott Elementary as an almost show because I just seen one episode. But yeah, my favorite show, I think I've seen 2 episodes, but it's only just because I just have to sit down and watch the rest, but I love it. And it's called Human Resources and it is on Netflix and it is a spinoff of Big Mouth. And so Human Resources is all about what goes on in the day-to-day lives of the hormone monsters. It's about like their actual workplace. So Maury and why am I not remembering Maya Rudolph's hormone monster's name? But like, so, but then we see all these other hormone monsters because like, if you've been watching Big Mouth each season, there's like more, there's like the shame wizard. There's there's the love bugs. There are the anxiety mosquitoes. there. Like they buzz around. They're like, oh my God, I don't think you can do that. But then I feel like that's going to be a really bad idea for you. And after you do that, you're going to feel really, really bad about it. And then you're absolutely out of your health. And then you're not going to have any friends. And nobody's going to like you anymore. Like buzzing in your ear.
That's perfect.
Depression kitty. The need demon. Keith from Grief.
You need to start freaking out.
The love bug's got a point.
Granted, Keith.
I'm sorry, but who the fuck is this?
Oh, hi. Keith from Grief. I'm here to help this lovely family start the mourning process.
We are not mourning, honey. We are thriving.
Of course. Denial. First stage. Very normal.
Listen, Keith from Queef, nobody wants you here. So why don't you make like a treef and leave?
I will fuck you up.
Excuse me?
Oh, see, now you're experiencing anger. Second stage. Again, perfectly normal.
Okay, Keith from Grief.
Wait, so Brandy,
yeah,
have you always been a Big Mouth fan? Because I don't think we've ever mentioned Big Mouth on this on the podcast.
I don't think we have. I do. I really enjoy Big Mouth. It's I love I know that I did say earlier with Euphoria that like it was gonna be hard for me to watch because I don't want to see people like enjoying their youth. But like guess what I do love seeing? Middle schoolers enjoying their youth. And like middle schoolers being middle schoolers. And I love it's like the same reason that I love Pin 15.
Oh. Like
being able to capture that part of life is, and to realistically capture it is a real gift and a talent.
Yeah.
Because the farther we get away from an age, I feel like the more we start to almost idealize it, which is why when you think back to high school and stuff, a lot of times it's like, oh, but like that was so great. And we did like this or like whatever. But I feel like middle school, nobody idealizes what they went through in middle school.
No.
Like it no. just, and I didn't even have that bad of a time in middle school, but like it was tough. It's a tough time to just like be in your own body and like, but anyway, so that's why I love Big Mouth, but yeah. Human resources with the hormone monsters, just really great. Cause it's so creative.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
And like the dirtiest, nastiest way.
It almost has like kind of like a Monsters Inc. type vibe.
It totally is Monsters Inc. I feel like that was the pitch for like Monsters Inc. rated R.
Yeah. Oh fuck. That's a hook right there. That's a hook.
Yeah.
I love it. Before I move on, I do want to shout out because you mentioned Pen 15. Did they air their final episodes this year? They might have. If they didn't, it was just you know last year. Whether it's on a criteria or not, I will say the series finale of Pen 15. Mm. Oh my God, I haven't been that emotional watching Hour of Television in a long, long time. I absolutely cried my eyes out.
Another thing I'm saving.
Yeah, so good. So good.
But yeah, but Human Resources, a lot of awesome people are in it. Pamela Adlon is in it. Maria Bamford, Ellie Wong, Mike Birbiglia, Bob Cannavale, John Gimberling, Hugh Jackman, Rosie Perez, Chris O'Dowd.
Christ.
Like it's Tandy Newton, like Lupita Nyong'o, Helen Mirren, Jermaine Clement, Janelle Monáe, John Mulaney, obviously, Henry wild. Winkler.
Oh my God, what a freaking cast list. Are they all like substantial characters or are these like one off here, one off there, quick voice here, quick voice there?
Main cast, A.D. Bryant, Randall Park, Kiki Palmer, David Thewlis, Maya Rudolph, and Nick Kroll.
Fuck yeah.
Recurring is like the Pamela Adlon, Maria Bamford, Ali Wong, da da da. And then like guests, like Helen Mirren's like a guest star and like Lupita.
Got it. Okay. Because like some of those names. Wow.
Yeah.
Can't imagine there for
but no, it's long a great, stretches. It's a great cast. The writing is really fun. It's a super fun, easy show to watch if you like animation and you have Netflix.
You want to stay on the comedy train? I think we're on a good little bent here. My first favorite show is an HBO comedy. It just finished its second season this spring and it's The Righteous Gemstones, which
great choice.
I don't think I've had as much fun. Kind of like it reminds me of how you're describing Human Resources. I haven't had as much fun watching a show in a while as I have watching season two of Righteous Gemstones. If you don't know the show, it's about a family in, I want to say it's the Carolinas. I know that's where they film. They film in South Carolina outside Charleston. And it's about like a family of preachers, right? Like, mm-hmm. like they run a mega church.
They like run a mega church. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like a mega church family.
Evangelical Christian.
That's exactly right. Thank you very much. John Goodman plays like the dad, like the older father. Danny McBride plays Jesse, the oldest, you know, child who's, you know, full adult with a wife and kids. Edie Patterson.
Full adult is in quotes.
Well, right. Exactly. Edie Patterson plays sister Judy. Adam Devine plays another brother, Kelvin. And then Walton Goggins is just like the wildest turn he's done in a while. And he's had some wild turns as Baby Billy. another full grown adult aging man named Baby Billy. But it's just this wild story about this huge empire that has some issues, some struggles, some cracks going on. It's got a little bit of Succession vibes. Like season one was kind of programmed next to Succession. It was a kind of a, you know, who's going to take over, jockeying for position to be in power at this company. But this season we're seeing, they're doing a lot more kind of like flashbacks to like the 90s and how they got to where they are, how they made some of their money. And it's fascinating to see it kind of build out. Like it's still one of the funniest things you'll see. And some of the set pieces, like it's a Danny McBride joint. So it's like, you know, action comedy, a lot of like, you know, a lot of shit going on, some violence, some
lots of strong language,
a lot of strong language, a lot of thrilling sequences, a lot of just like very inventive, funny put downs thrown back and forth across his family.
With all the stunts you pulled, you really think in a million years that daddy would trust you to run the church? Keep dreaming.
Yeah.
Whatever. Accept my dominance or don't. Doesn't matter to me. The damn tides of time and the winds of dust are upon us. My reign is nigh.
What the fuck did you even just say, man?
That made no sense to me. That sounded foreign.
That's not a phrase, dummy.
You're just both a bunch of two-bit half-rate siblings. Damn Frank Stallone and fucking Stephen Baldwin over here.
Oh.
No, you fucking did not.
I ain't got no time for this. Bye, Felicia.
Okay, no.
What did he just say?
Mm-mm. No.
Did he just say bye, Felicia?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Bye, Felicia.
Jesse, you will never run this family. So bye, Felicia, to you, Jesse.
Who's Felicia?
You are.
No, you're Felicia.
Let's just all act like adults.
Felicia?
No, you're Felicia. No,
it's okay.
And it's a really nice, you know, kind of third show in the Danny McBride trilogy of Eastbound and Down with Kenny Powers, and then underrated and underwatched second show that he did also with Walton Goggins called Vice Principals.
Oh, so good.
Fucking go back and watch Vice Principals if you haven't yet. And now Righteous Gemstones is kind of like the big budget. Like they're really going all out and it's excellent. And like, it's another one I just like, it can never end and I'd be happy with it. That's totally cool.
Very fun show. I watched all the first season. I think I'm 3 episodes in on the second season. We'll be finishing it. I love the addition of Eric Andre.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That's right. Great character.
Where I'm watching right now, it seems like maybe they'll go into business together they're like a competing mega church, he and his wife. But I don't know. That seems like that's not long for this world. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's a really funny show. It's just like Danny McBride has the ability to just like make me belly laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, Eastbound and Down is still one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah. And will be for
Just
it cemented its place in all-time comedy of all time.
Yeah. That is a great, great, great pick.
Thanks. Okay. So we're on to our last picks here. And as in case you haven't listened to other kind of current TV catch-ups, we're not going to do forever shows, because that's a little bit too tricky to do with things that are very new or recently airing. So
feels like a lie.
Feels like a lie, exactly. So we're going to round out our favorites here, but to make sure that we satisfy the last F in BFF, we're going to pick a couple future picks, shows to look out for coming up. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, let's round out our best and favorites. Brandy, what's your second favorite recent show?
So my second favorite recent show is a reality show, actually, and it is Love is Blind season 2.
Wow. We haven't had any reality in a while here. Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know what Love is Blind is, you're living under a rock, but tell me why season 2 is as good as it is.
Season 2, like Love is Blind is one of those shows that like, I mean, it lives and dies by the casting, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they struck gold season 1, like Jessica, Mark, like this is you know, Lauren, you know, Cameron. Wait, is sure. that her husband's? That was the husband's name, right? That they ended up getting married, the black girl and the white guy. I think it was Lauren and Cameron. But anyway, the casting was fantastic. And not only did they do it again in season two, but they did it again. Like, how do they find these people?
Better than season one?
Better. Oh my God. This season we get Shane, who, like, is he constantly on coke? Like, is he on steroids? What's he doing? Why does he look like that? Okay. Why did he pick Natalie? They obviously are not a match. And then there's Shayna.
I think you are brainwashed.
I could argue the same.
Not really. You think we're accidentally here?
It's not an accident.
Exactly.
No, look, it's literally
you
like...
So you believe like the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, it's explained. It makes sense.
No, it does. It makes no sense.
So you don't believe in evolution?
I do not believe in evolution at all.
Stop it.
I do not.
That's so fucked up.
Oh my God.
Shayna, who like has inspired a million memes because at the reunion, her eyes were like half closed and all she kept saying was, no, yeah, but I own that. No, I owned it. No, I know that I owned what I did. I owned it. There was like, oh my God, like Danielle and Nick, who like Danielle is like the insecurity was palpable.
Oh no.
Like it was just like, oh my God, like why is she saying that? Like, that's not what he meant. Like I can tell. I can tell I'm a viewer and I can tell that's not what he meant. And you just took it from here to here. And this is how come guys are always saying girls are crazy.
Oh no.
Because you're making these kind of mass and wrong generalizations and jumping to such conclusions.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so Love is Blind, for those of you who haven't seen it, cause you've been living under a rock. It's a dating show. You are basically dating people that you can't see until you decide to marry them, which is just the best. Like, and just as a TV person, like I'm just seeing the pitch of like, no guys, dating show. Okay. Just go with me here. We're going to put everybody there. They can't see each other. There's a wall between them. You know, they can be drinking. They can be having fun. They're on a couch. They're talking everything. If they want to see the other person, they got to marry them. Only way you can see them, you have to propose. And I'd be like, sold.
Yeah. And then as soon as you propose, let's fast track an entire relationship in the next 2 weeks and see what happens.
It's like, okay, so now you guys are going to go to vacation for a week. Okay, right. Great. Did that. Now you're going to move in together for a week. Oh, great. Did that. And now we're getting married.
Hope it all works out. See you next season.
You can say no. But like, and then my favorite couple, or my favorite person, obviously, was Deep D. She got with this guy, Shake. So like, they're both Indian. They both tell each other from when they're in the pods, like, oh my God, like I never date other Indians. I only date white. He's like, I just date white girls. And he's like, you know, I love going to music festivals. Do you like music festivals? And she's like, yeah, cool. And he's like, yeah. He's like, and I just love it. Music festivals. Like, I'd love to like put the girl on my shoulders. Like, can I put you on my shoulders? Trying to find out if she's fat or not. And it's just like, what? So like, that was like red flag number 5 million of everything he said in the pods. But then he finally, so like, you know, they decide that he's going to propose to her, whatever. And then basically for the rest of the show, he's telling every other person in front of the camera, man, like, I mean, Deep G's like so awesome, but like, I'm just not attracted to her. Like, she just reminds me of my aunt. Like, I'm just attracted to her. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? But anyway, Love is Blind was just like, it's so easy to watch. It's a dumb reality TV. It's so great to just like judge people and their decisions. And they make it so easy. So yeah, Love is Blind season two, definitely a favorite, not a best.
Not a best.
Not a best. But 100% the definition of a favorite show.
Love it. Okay, so we got one more here. This show could have been my best.
Okay.
Could have been my best. It's definitely a favorite, though. I can't stop thinking about it. The finale just aired a couple days ago. I'm probably going to watch it maybe for a third time after I hang up this call.
Oh,
because
God.
The finale was so fucking good. The show that I'm referring to is Severance on Apple TV Plus. If you know someone who has watched it, I guarantee they have told you to watch it. I have told anyone who will listen. I've posted about it. I've screamed about it. The show fucking rocks. Now, it starts a little strange. It's a weird premise. It's an interesting premise. The way I describe it is like, picture a Black Mirror premise, but for a whole season. You get to stick with it, stick with the character, stick with the premise. And the premise is, imagine there's a company that has figured out this technology where you can sever your memories. You can sever your memories between your work and your home life. So when you go to work, you kind of clock in into like a new frame of mind and you don't remember anything at all about your life outside of work and vice versa. When you're home, when you leave the office, when you go up the elevator, you punch out of your work existence. You know nothing about what you do. You know nothing about who you work with, nothing about what your actual job is. And you just go home and you live your life. And it focuses on four main people in this one department. And they're played by Adam Scott, John Turturro, Britt Lower, who is like the new hire. She comes in and that's kind of like the perspective, the point of view character. You kind of learn what this is about through her a little bit. And then Zach Cherry, who's just a great comedic actor who's been in tons of stuff, came up in, through New York, I think UCB. Freaking Christopher Walken has a role in this. Patricia Arquette is in it. The cast is incredible, but it's so well done. It's very deliberate. The first couple episodes, you're like, God damn, these people love walking down long white halls going to nowhere. But the more you go, you start to see a little bit more about specifically Adam Scott's character. He's the main character. So you see a lot of his home life back and forth. And you understand why he decided to sever his experience. And but then you slowly kind of get views into like what's going on outside of their department, what's going on with the people who work there, what's going on with the company itself a little bit more. You get to see quick glimpses into some of the other people when they're at home. And the whole season, it's like eight episodes, it's kind of like this, like very deliberate. It doesn't feel slow once you're in it. Like it just feels like exactly what it should be. But then you get to this finale and everything changes. Just like the camera movements are different, the pacing is different. It's literally breathless. Like I was like trying to catch my breath the whole time, like anxious, but like in the best TV watching sort of way. I got to the end and just was like holy fuck. Like I watched it by myself, stood up and just like kind of yelled at the TV like, what the fuck? And instantly watched it back again. I can't say enough about it, especially that finale. It got renewed for a second season. So definitely catch up. I think it's actually going to be a really good binge to watch them in batches. Yeah, I fucking love it. It's taken over my whole entire brain in this moment. And for that reason, it's my favorite recent show.
I mean, I have to say that it was, you really went off like with excitement about it on Instagram after you watched the finale. And that's when Moses and I were like, all right, let's watch Severance. Like Dan's flipping out about this show. Let's see what's going on here. And so we started watching it. Full disclosure, I fell asleep during the first episode, not because it was not a good episode, but it was just one of those, I guess I was just tired. Like I closed my eyes and all of a sudden I was back and I'm like, wait, what has happened in the show? But I caught up with what happened and then went into the second episode and like, I'm in. It is for me, everything about this show makes me uncomfortable. It makes my brain hurt. Like when I really try to like wrap my head, like it's mind bending. The premise to me is very mind bending. Like yeah. I cannot wrap my head around that you, I guess it, what it's hard for me to wrap my head around who they are in the office as like a separate entity from who they are at home.
But that's what's and so like, fascinating about it. Cause it's yeah. like, then it gets into all like these ethical conundrums of like, wait, you are the same person bodily, but if you're severing yourself, basically your work person is like an infant, right? Like they've only ever known that life. And if you choose to leave, they basically for all intents and purposes are killed, right? Like they cease to exist. So like there's all these complicated ethical, moral kind of quandaries.
So I'll never leave here.
You'll leave at 5. Well, actually, they stagger our exit, so 5:15. But it won't feel like it, not to this version of you anyway.
Do you have a family?
You'll never know.
And I have no choice.
Well, every time you find yourself here, it's because you chose to come back.
My brain is hurting, Dan.
So fascinating brain. Oh my God, I love it. And here's the thing. So there's 9 episodes. I'm looking at the IMDb ratings right now. So like the first, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all average about an 8. So like that's pretty, you know, standard prestige TV. It's a new show. Yeah. Pretty strong. Episode 7, 9.0. Episode 8, 9.0. Episode 9, the finale, is currently sitting at a 9.8 on IMDb.
Wow.
And it's not wrong. Like, when you mentioned I was freaking out in my stories, that's what I post. I'm like, yo, this is rated almost a fucking 10, and they're not lying. You need to get into this right away.
Look, I'm stoked because, like I said, it's one of the most unique things I've ever seen.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I got to shout out the creator. His name is Dan Erickson, who created the show. I think it's been in development for many, many years. And it's directed and executive produced by Ben Stiller, who, like, you'd think, like, does a lot of comedy.
I thought it was going to be a comedy. Like, I feel like when I first heard about this premise and that it was being directed by Ben Stiller, that Adam Scott was in it, I just assumed that it was just going to be kind of like a weird comedy.
Yeah. No, we're getting, this is not Zoolander Ben Stiller. This is Escape at Dannemora Ben Stiller. You know what I mean? It's very. I mean, there's some laughs. I mean, like, there's still comedic performers and, you know, like.
Yeah, no, there's
a little bit of levity. And sometimes it's at the absurdity of what's going on or some of the interactions, like, especially when, like, you realize, oh, the issue of severance is hotly debated in the culture. So you have like Adam Scott at a dinner party with his sister and brother-in-law, and people are like talking about,
and no food.
People are talking about, like, debating the moral and ethical quandaries of severance. It's just, I don't want to spend too much on or give too much away because the fun of it is it's another mystery box show. Like, you know, they have these jobs where, like, they need to organize, they need to refine data, but what they're doing is basically like pulling groups of numbers that make them feel a certain way into different boxes. And you're like, how, why, what are the numbers?
It's like, you'll know it when you feel it.
Right. But there's also just like this really, like, there's a queer story embedded in there. There's like the story about grief in there. There's the story about privilege. And it's just, it's a super, super deep show. I can't wait. Like, I've mentioned the finale a couple times now because it kind of stands alone as its own thing that feels in and of itself in a way, but I will watch the whole series again because I think it's going to be even more rich on a second watch.
All right. So my two favorite shows are Human Resources and Love is Blind for 2022. And your two favorite shows for 2022 are Severance and
Righteous Gemstones.
Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah. For 2022 so far.
So far.
We'll come back. We'll do this again. We'll do another current check-in in, you know, probably in the summer. And then, you know, like we did, you know, check-in in the fall again. So we'll do these periodically, but, and I'll tell you, it's not going to get any easier because there's a lot of stuff.
So much coming. It was very hard to pick what's going to be what I'm looking forward to in the future to just narrow it down to only two things.
Yeah. So before we move on to our future picks, let me give you just a quick rundown of a couple things that sparked my eye that neither of us are actually going to select here. David Simon, who created The Wire, has a new show coming out on HBO. It's called We Own This City. The Offer is coming out on Paramount Plus. It's about the making of The Godfather. Sounds really cool. I love that for you. Vanessa Bayer's new show that also includes Matt Rogers. Can't wait for that. A lot of returning shows. Stranger Things is coming back. The Boys, season 3, is coming back. And this is just scratching the surface. There are so many new shows, so many returning shows. It's going to be, Brandy, if you were stressed about watching shows before,
I know
it's not going to get any easier, but what's one show above all others that you're really, really looking forward to? What's your first future pick?
My first future pick. So excited. Can't believe it was already like so long ago that it was on is Russian Doll with Natasha Lyonne.
Oh my God. I feel like that came and landed really hard and people talked about it, but like Netflix show. So it came and it went.
Yeah.
I loved it though. That's been what, like 3 years?
It was, I think 3 years, maybe 4 years. Like, I feel like these past 2020 to now, like, is just like a blob.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't even think of that. And like, so it definitely was before, I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
When we last saw it.
I think that's right. Great show. You know what? It kind of gives me, now that you mention it, a little bit of Severance vibes, and that like it came, it had this really high concept, like very premise-y type show, but with a really strong kind of performance that kind of grounded it. So it didn't get too off the rails, even though it absolutely did get off the rails in like weird, wonderful ways.
Yeah, no, I am, because I'm really excited about this coming up season, because the show, I feel like, really ended perfectly. It was a perfect season, really.
Yeah.
Like it told the story. I feel like we got to a great end. And so I feel like it's a bold choice to come back, but I trust the people that are making this. Like, I trust the creators of the show to like that they wouldn't be coming back unless they had something to say. And so I'm excited to see what that's going to be.
And you've seen the trailer that has been released.
Mm-hmm.
They're going for it. I mean, if they went for it in season one, they're really going for it in season two. Like, so season one, if you haven't seen it, it's basically kind of like an updated, trippier take on like Groundhog Day, right? Mm-hmm. Like Natasha Leone's character, she's having a birthday and she keeps dying and getting thrown back to like the same moment during her birthday party, and has to figure out why that's happening. And along the way, she meets somebody else who's also experiencing some weird timey-wiminess, and they kind of like go on the journey together to figure it out. And then you're right, like it ends, and it could have ended there, but it also, they didn't really solve it, so they didn't so like I can see why they're coming back.
They didn't have to end it there, but I would have been totally fine with it. Like, I felt like that I got everything that I needed.
Yeah, but now this, if you look at the trailer that's out now, they're like, they're not getting stuck in a day. It looks like they're going to be traveling like to different eras, which looks like they're biting off way more. And I think it's going to be great. Like, similarly, I have no reason not to trust them to pull it off. So I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. What's your first future show, Dan?
Another dark comedy that hasn't been on since the year of our Lord 2019. This is Barry, which is coming back for its third season.
So good.
Very, very soon. So it's right around the corner. Incredibly excited. It stars Bill Hader as a uber successful professional hitman who decides to become an actor and is not as good at acting as he is at killing people. And he plays it in only a way Bill Hader can. It's a wonderfully weird, dark,
very dark,
darkly comedic show, but in a really good way, but lightened up by a specific character, specifically Hank, right? NoHo Hank. Super, super fun character. And there's several others. A lot of the people in the acting class are really, really great. But yeah, some of the best acting that Bill Hader's ever done in his career. He also created the show. Another, like Natasha Leone in Russian Doll, like just someone who clearly has a handle on what they want to do. And I can't wait for them to keep doing it.
Yeah, Barry is, I caught up with it on a work trip, and I started it on the plane over, and then would just watch it every night that when I got back to the hotel, because I was by myself. And then I finished it on the plane ride back, because I was going to California, and I was just so happy about it. Yeah. I was like, I'm so happy that I watched this. This is such a great show.
And it's probably a good show to watch like in between hotel rooms, airports, and traveling to LA, because that's very much kind of like the vibe of
the show, you know? No, it was really great. And that's another one that I didn't realize it had been gone for that long.
So long, like so fucking long.
It's honestly because these past 2 years have been such a mind fuck.
Yeah, but this is why the next several months are going to be so jam packed, because not only do we have the new stuff that was always going to be coming up, but then the old stuff that got delayed. Yeah,
it's coming back.
You know, it's all sort of things. I'm going to share my next one, Brandy, because I think I want to end with yours. So my second future pick. You know me, if you listened, I need to scratch the nerd itch. So I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out in May on Disney Plus.
Didn't even know it wasn't out.
Well, there you go. Similarly, I didn't know Love is Blind season 2 was already out as well. So, you know, we have our lanes. We each have our lanes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of great crossover. But Obi-Wan Kenobi, probably the most anticipated Star Wars Disney Plus show, more so than The Book of Boba Fett, which was fine. It, you know.
More so than The Mandalorian?
Well, Mandalorian season 1, no one really knew what it was going to be. So, and then season 2, we knew it was good, but it was coming back. But also too, it was exploring new ground, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Obi-Wan, like everyone knows Obi-Wan Kenobi, whether you know Star Wars or not, you know that name, you know that character. And this is his story kind of in between a couple, you know, major events in the larger kind of Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it because I've been doing this big, long watch of the Clone Wars animated series. Obi-Wan is a huge character in that. They've cast Hayden Christensen to reprise his role as Anakin / Darth Vader in live action. So like he's coming back. We don't know in what capacity, whether it's going to be flashbacks to things we've seen in the animated shows. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that we're excited about it in the Star Wars hive. So really excited about that. Not sure if it'll ever make a criteria or if any of these Disney Plus shows will. I'm watching, you know, the Marvel shit constantly. Moon Knight's out right now. It's good. We'll see. But Obi-Wan has got a lot of buzz, and the trailer just fucking rocked. Like, just really.
Okay, fine. I'll watch the trailer.
Just watch the trailer. You'll pick up some of the John Williams score, and like, you know, Duel of the Fates music is kicking. It's fun stuff. It's gonna be a fun show.
Okay,
check it out if you like Star Wars.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to my second future show. I'm so excited about this. I can't believe it's coming back so soon. The last season, which we're going to get in two chunks. First chunk coming at us. Better Call Saul.
Let's fucking go.
Once again, I'm just going to say, I can't believe that it's been gone for as long as it's been gone. It feels like it was just on. Was this another 2019?
No, it wasn't a 2019, but it's been 2 full years. The last season finale was April 2020.
Okay, got it.
So it brought us into the bad times and said, see you later. See you in a couple years. Good luck.
We started getting it when we were like, oh yeah, we're just going to be locked in for two weeks.
Honestly, looking at these dates, it's funny. Like I remember it, but I don't like it aired from February 23rd until April 20th. So like right during the initial worst panic of it all. So like, it's to its credit that I still remember what happened in that season for the most part, given everything else that was going on around it. You know what I mean?
I can't, that's insane. Actually. Wow. Yeah. How are we paying attention to that?
Right. And yet we did because it's so fucking good. So yeah, it's coming back.
But it's coming back. Like I said, it's going to be, how many episodes? Is it 10 and 10, 8 and 8, 6 and 6?
I just looked it up because a buddy of mine was asking. So it's a 13 episode season split into 7 and 6. The good news is because it's been delayed, they're not going to do the here's 7 episodes, wait a year. They're doing here's 7 episodes, wait a month and a half, and then you get the next 6. So like the show will conclude before
prayers up,
before like summer's over. So we're going to get the full season in the span of like, you know, 4 months or so.
And I also saw today, actually breaking news, that Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are on board. We don't know how they're going to be in it, but they are going to be in this last round.
Yeah, I saw that too. So thoughts on this, because again, I've been texting with my friends who are fans of the show. Do you like hearing that news, knowing that that's coming, or would you have preferred for it to be kept under wraps and be like the surprise while you're watching?
Oh, I like knowing that it's coming because I feel like because they've now dropped that it's coming, it's not going to come where we think it's going to come.
I agree with you. I like that they announced it because we all assumed it was going to have it anyway. So if they didn't announce it, it would be yeah, that episode was great, but where are Walt and Jesse? Yeah, that episode was good, but when are we going to see them? So now that we know that they're coming, you're right. I think we could have more fun with, we don't know the how or when or in what capacity.
Yeah, I feel like my theory is that we actually aren't going to see
Walt and Jesse at peak Walt and Jesse, like when Saul meets them. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to get Walt and Jesse when we have everyone's like, we're going to, it's going to be like after, I think we're going to see Jesse in that in-between time of El Camino.
El Camino times. Okay.
El Camino times. And then I think with Walt, I really think that it's going to be more of just like a, they pass by each other randomly at a store or something.
I was thinking the same thing.
I feel like it's going to be a much more natural interaction and not like a, we're not going to get a shot for shot remake.
I agree. I don't think we're going to get Walt and Jesse in the same room. I think there'll be two different instances. In my head, I almost picture like Saul has to go to the high school for something to talk to someone about whatever. Mm-hmm. And he walks by Walt's classroom and he just sees Walt teaching like at a glance through the window. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like sees him being a chemistry teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
I know. But like, but no, I'm happy to know that they are going to be in there because I feel like that's just going to be an exciting thing to be like, I don't know when we're going to see them. That's going to be, I feel like they can just have a lot of fun with that. I don't know. I trust the guys that are making this. I feel like they landed the plane like extraordinarily well in Breaking Bad. And I know this is Peter Gould, but it's still Vince Gilligan. Like
both of them.
It's still the same. Yeah.
And they've released like both of them are writing / directing a lot of like the later episodes. Okay. And a lot. Yeah. They're all over. And they always have been, but they're continuing to be all over the season as well.
But no, I trust this team. Like, I feel like they have a vision and they know what the story is. And so I'm pretty confident that like we're in for something really good.
I think so too. And who knows? I mean, if you go way back to our initial BFF criteria, you know that I had to debate between Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad to take one of the best spots. I went with Breaking Bad with the caveat that may change once Better Call Saul concludes. So we'll see what happens with this final season. We'll see what happens with a lot of these shows. Will they cause us to update and change our own criteria, Brandy? We don't know, but we'll see.
I know. I'm super excited about it. Yeah. So we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to in the future. I can't wait for Russian Doll, Better Call Saul,
Barry, Obi-Wan Kenobi, literal dozens of others. But stay tuned. Keep coming back. We'll do more of these current catch-ups.
And well, we didn't even talk about what we're really looking forward to in the future is more TV BFFs, guys. Season two. It's coming at you. It's going to be amazing. We have so many great guests lined up. We've got so many great BFF criterias we're talking about. We've got some new twists. We've got some new turns this year. Like, it's going to be bomb. So
that's right. We're in the works. We like to be evergreen. So we're recording some episodes. We're planning some, like Brandy mentioned, some special criteria, some other special episodes. And then season two will be around exact date TBD, but it'll drop this summer. And then the plan is to run right through the end of the year. So a lot from us coming very soon. In the meantime, subscribe, share with your friends. If you're interested watching any and all these TV shows, please share us around. Follow us on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast. And you can email us questions, comments, your own criteria, TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out.
We would love to hear from you guys. But I think that's it for now. So
bye, friends.
Bye, friends. You arrived here.